This guy was a, man, he was a real character.
He seems, unique.
Hey, let me show you something. Give it here. Right here at the, here at the top says, to WW, my star, my perfect silence. WW. I mean, who you figure that is, huh? Woodrow Wilson? Willy Wonka? Walter White?
You got me.
Welcome to Remote Control. This is another Season Pass episode. We're going to be Breaking Bad once again. I am, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me is Ryan, the name of Flo Merkley. Hello, sir.
Yay.
Yay, Season 4. Oh, boy. Season 4.
Probably the best of the seasons.
I was going to say, yeah, honestly, anyway. It's probably the best of the show, honestly, yeah.
But generally, so in terms of overall ratings and everything else, it's the highest rated season of television ever. Mm. And not by a little either.
Mm-hmm.
Has a 96 on Metacritic and other... It's not just a Rotten Tomatoes, like, positive sort of thing. It's the fact that its rating is... the lowest people are giving it are like a 9.5 out of 10 in most cases, so it did pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, this season is very, very well done.
There's only one part I didn't really like about it, and already hit on it in an earlier episode. I mean, the random kleptomania to try to give Marie something to do sort of reappears. Aside from that, like, so I mean, I've already talked about it now, so hell with it. I'm not even gonna mention it when we go through it. Aside from that, this is an insanely, like, tight season in terms of what's happening and the everything sort of being intertwined really well.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we didn't, I don't even remember talking about it last time, but I mean, when we ended last season,
mm-hmm.
Jesse had Gale at gunpoint.
Yep.
Well, and the gun goes off.
Yeah, and the gun goes off and the season ends.
Yeah, and we fade to black and immediately, you know, pick up where it left off.
Yeah. And I was... I almost wish... Even though I said I needed a break from the series, because like I've said in the last three podcasts that we did on this, you have to be in the right mindset and the right time of frame and that kind of stuff to watch this. For me, I have to be in the right mindset to want to watch this series because it is that hard-hitting kind of television.
I talked about it too. Like with The Shield, I always needed a break and stuff when I'd watch, because I usually watched it on DVD. Up until the last season, I started watching the episodes of The Shield as it aired. I did the same with Breaking Bad, actually. I found it late. Shield's issue was it was on obscure times in Canada, and I didn't like it watching it here because the network that showed it edited it quite heavily. The absolute worst was the finale of The Shield, where they took out half an hour to make it fit into the hour, like the normal hour time frame.
That's what I love about FX, and some of, specifically FX, but that's what I love about them. They have series that if it's a finale, whether it's series or season or premiere, they don't give a crap about the... Because, and you know, this is going to tie back into Breaking Bad eventually, folks, but yeah, let's face it, The Shield... Well, right, but I'm saying The Shield was... I remember this. This was 15 fucking years ago at this point. Oh, we're a month off. But anyway... 15 years ago last month, The Shield gave FX the chutzpah to go on with other... That was their original, very first original series. They then went on to do Damages and Americans and Sons of Anarchy and everything else that they have. But The Shield was what kickstarted all of that. And throughout The Shield's 7 seasons... And out of FX's other original series, that allowed them to do a 90-minute episode or something like that, because they were not they were not conformed to the 60-minute time limit of CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, etc., etc., etc. It's very rare, unless it's a 2-hour episode, it's very rare I see a 90-minute episode on any of the big regular broadcast networks.
It's really rare on those. On the other networks, it's...
Oh, yeah, no. Reason,
it's become common anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
AMC's not a huge fan of it. I know, like, Vince Gilligan said that, you know, it was a bit of a battle.
Yeah.
But, you know, every once in a while they're able to go over normally. And, of course, the finale was much longer. And yeah, fun fact, FX, I think it was the same year, debuted Rescue Me, which is, like, one of the only shows that, oh, God, like, it depressed me so much. I had so much trouble. Fighting my way through that.
There were two... I think this series was a different network. I think it was TNT, the other series I want to mention. But there were two series at the time that were coming up. Was Rescue Me on FX. And I think Men of a Certain Age was on TNT or something. And it's one of those things where every time I would see an ad for those, both of them depressed me. Because of the guys that they had in Men of a Certain Age. It was Raymond. It was... Andre Brower and two other guys, and then what's his name? Dennis Leary was the lead in Rescue Me. But every time I saw ads for either one of those shows, I'm just like, I don't think I'll ever watch them because the ads just depressed me so much.
Yeah, Rescue Me is on a whole other level. I mean, out of nowhere, you know, the youngest child gets hit by a drunk driver, killing him, and... it was, the show was already set in the shadow of 9/11. It was a real feel good story.
Yeah, not really, no. So Breaking Bad season 4, it really did do well, and I was confused. Since you already brought it up, let's just get it out of the way, because I don't want to sound like a broken record later of, I hate Marie.
I like her a lot in the last season. I mean, we'll get into that when
we'll get into that part. But this,
explain that. But yeah, when they actually have her as a character and don't try to do these stupid things or silly things where they try to give her tics and stuff in the main story, because she doesn't necessarily need that. She's an important enough character without that.
Yeah.
She didn't need these sort of weird personality tics that they tried to give her.
Yeah, and then the bad thing about the shoplifting addiction that she has is that she is now turned into a home invader. Technically not necessarily a true home invasion person, but...
Which is a kleptomaniac. Yeah. She goes to the open houses.
And I was like, why are you... At first, I didn't get it because they were they were showing us it in a different light. I didn't get it at first. I'm like, why is she going to all of these houses? Like, I didn't actually notice her stealing anything. I was paying more attention to what story she was trying to spin.
Fun fact, one of the same realtors appears in Better Call Saul.
Oh, sweet. The
The show, this,
the white lady?
This series, and this series and that one have... the continuity is astoundingly good. Like, they have the same nurses in Better Call Saul that appeared in Breaking Bad.
Well, that's because...
they paid a lot of attention to...
that, and Saul is the prequel series to this.
Yes, I know, but I mean, the fact that they bother to get the same extras and that kind of thing is amazing to me. Most shows wouldn't bother with that. Anyway. Yeah,
anyway. Alright, so Breaking Bad Season 4.
Box Cutter. Why'd they name that episode this again? Oh, yeah.
Well, see, originally, when I was first watching the episode, I thought it was because Gail was in there cutting the boxes. And then I realized later, I'm like, oh, no, that's not why.
Well, it is. I mean...
kinda.
It's the same Box Cutter, presumably. So...
yeah.
I mean, we open with... we find out that Jesse did indeed kill Gail.
Mm-hmm.
And during Gus holding Walt and Jesse, Victor, who I think we mentioned a few times last time around, but anyway, Victor, one of, you know, Gus's sort of right hand men, that kind of thing, starts cooking, essentially to kind of show that, you know, hey, I can do this, you know, or I can be a more important, you know, part of all of this, and you can get rid of these two idiots that are causing you trouble, et cetera, et cetera. And Gus slits his throat with a box cutter. In a very disturbing scene. So,
yes,
one of my favorite sort of behind-the-scenes stories regarding Breaking Bad is the sequence that was used was the first one they shot, and they ended up using it even though the blood packs on Victor went the wrong way. Like, Gus wasn't supposed to get covered with blood or anything like that. Giancarlo Esposito, the actor. Yeah. The blood packs didn't work properly, but they filmed it anyway. And Giancarlo Esposito's the one that ad-libbed the scene with Gus, you know, calmly wiping the blood off. And putting the towel down, et cetera, et cetera. So that whole thing was basically an accident, and they ended up using that because they thought it was the most sort of in character, and it showed, you know, how calm Gus was, even though he
really
killed a person gruesomely.
Yeah.
But I really liked that scene, and I find it really interesting that it was completely by accident, and because the actor understood the character maybe even better than the writers did at the time.
Yeah, one of my notes after this happened was more so because of his calmness than anything else. Not necessarily... I mean, the act in itself of him killing Victor was crazy, but just the calmness afterward, my note was, Gus is fucking crazy. And I'm going to be saying that a lot more.
Well, Gus is the exact opposite of Walter. Walter is the emotional one who reacts in an emotional way, whereas Gus is really restrained and controlled. I wouldn't say he's crazy. Like, between the two of them especially, he's the sane one.
He is, but I'm saying it's... you know how they always say it's the quiet chicks you gotta watch out for?
I guess, but I mean... yeah. Alternatively, I mean, in the end, we find out that Gus was the good one. Like, he was the better option of the two of them, as disturbing as
that
is. I mean, Gus was not in favor of, granted it was an accident, but in any case, you know, Gus wasn't in favor of child killing, for example, whereas, you know, later on, Walt's pretty much okay with it.
Yeah, that's... that. I remember I said last time that my choice of when I choose not to believe in Walt anymore, it probably will change. Like, my cutoff point for Walt was... what was it? It was season... Yeah, it was season two with Jane or something. Jane or other. Yeah, yeah. No, that's as soon as I see that Lily of the Valley plant,
yeah,
I'm
I was
like,
about to say,
oh.
I outright really started to dislike Walt at this point.
Yeah,
And I outright started to. I was getting really close to just hating him in season five when he, you know, goes on the rant to Jesse that, you know, I'm a father. I hated, you know, Drew Sharp being killed, et cetera, et cetera. And then he starts whistling as soon as Jesse is leaving.
Yeah,
proving, showing that, yeah, he didn't care at all. He's just trying to control Jesse, which we'll get to in this season.
Oh yeah, a lot. And the funny thing is, I'm going to say this now more so than later. After watching all 13 of these episodes, at the end of the 13th episode, after Gus dies, spoilers for anybody that doesn't know, we'll talk about how he dies later.
We're going to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, after Gus dies, I'm like, okay, where the hell do they... Because this is my second attempt at a watch through of this series, and I, you know, I was pretty negative of it on the first watch through a number of years ago, like I've said. And after Gus dies and how the season ends, I don't remember outside of the series finale. I remember nothing from season five. I have no clue what the hell.
This is something we talk about a lot on Nerd News or places when we talk about comics.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, when there's a big event in comics, one of the things that's annoying nowadays, especially with Marvel, is there's just another event. There's no time afterwards to absorb mm-hmm. anything or see, you know, how these big events changes anything for anybody. They just go straight into the next event. Breaking Bad Season 5 is the opposite of that, as it's basically a denouement to this giant event of Walter winning.
Yeah.
He even says, you know, in the series, I won.
Yeah.
At the end of, yeah, this season. And yeah, I mean, when he, going back to when he's not winning.
Yeah, not yet.
So, I mean, Walt and Jesse are, rightfully so, essentially, for lack of a better term, scared shitless. Because they just watch Gus mm-hmm. calmly murder one of his guys as an example. And yeah, I mean, out of this, we go pretty much straight into the next episode too, because Walter goes and buys a gun. Another note, by the way, the same illegal weapons dealers used in this series repeatedly, and again in Better Call Saul as well. More nice continuity.
Yep.
And anyway, Gus has had enough of Walter. Because Gus and Mike both realize that Walt's kind of a loose cannon and not a good guy to have around.
Yeah.
And yeah, Mike's not stupid.
No. I don't think it's in this episode, I think it's later. There's a scene where Mike has to give Gus an update in his car, or vice versa, Gus gives Mike the update or something or other, and Gus looks at him and says, "You have questions?" "I do, but I know better not to ask."
Yeah. And the whole Mike is, I really liked him.
Oh, I love Mike.
He's one of my favorite characters, and Jonathan Banks is a terrific actor. But anyway, yeah, I mean, in the second episode too, I mean, in the end, Mike beats up Walt instead mm-hmm. of pairing up with him, which is the option Walter gives him, that, you know, he basically insinuates that, well, you know what, you know, you and me, we're both in trouble, Gus mm-hmm. could get rid of us. No, I mean, Mike's smart enough to know that's not what's happening, and he's smart enough to know that Gus is a lot of things, but he's not going to make an emotional and erratic decision.
Yeah.
And suddenly shoot him in his car almost by accident just because he gets annoyed. Oh, wait.
The other
that
thing
still makes me sad. God damn it, Walt. Anyway.
The other things that are happening in season 4, episode 2 is that Skyler in the car wash, so that happens. Jesse's 3-day-long party and more, because Jesse's partying is back, and
that's poor right, yeah. And Jesse makes me ecstatic because he plays an awful lot of Nine Inch Nails in these scenes for the next few episodes, which is great.
Yeah.
If you ever want to make me really happy, I mean, talk about combining two of my favorite things. But anyway, yeah, that's right. I forgot. This is the start of Jesse's bender in season two. Or season two, episode two of season four.
Season four, yeah.
I mean, that's the other difference, too, right? I mean, Jesse just goes into this complete spiral from killing Gale.
Yeah,
and feels miserable about it.
Yeah. And
Walt's kind of reaction is to see how he can use it. So.
Oh, yeah, and Walt uses that fork. Like, Jesse's,
yeah.
Jesse's downward spiral is just so depressing. Depressing than that
in these first episodes.
Yeah.
And it was weird for me when I watched it and I realized that I was now kind of rooting for Jesse. Because I didn't really like him early on. He was like the scumbag, annoying, dumb drug dealer.
Yeah.
And he had changed so much that I actually felt bad for him here, and I wanted him to, you know, come out of it and be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of happy when, you know, Walt kind of broke him out of it. At the time, like, when I was watching it, I didn't realize that, you know, what a terrible person Walt is.
Mm-hmm.
And that he wasn't doing it for Jesse at all. He was doing it for him.
For himself, yeah. So, with episode 3, this is open house, because,
Yeah, and I mean, this is where Skyler convinces Walt to buy the car wash.
This is the same car wash he used to work at.
Yeah, Bogdan makes an appearance, actually, which is pretty amusing.
Yeah, it is.
More kind of good continuity. And actually, a couple of my favorite moments, even though... So this is the episode with Marie's kleptomania and the open houses, which, blah. And we have a lot more of Jesse partying to the point that he just, like, starts throwing money around. But one of my favorite moments, this is also the episode where Hank finds the copy of the notebook in Gale's apartment.
Yep.
The one that had, like, two WW... Walt kept that. That was a gift to Walter. This was the notebook... Sorry, this was the notebook of Gale's
notes on the stuff,
on how to cook meth. There we go.
Yeah, but it's in there, though.
The
2WW is in the notebook, because...
Yeah, it's in the notebook as well. That's right. He put it there. Yeah, and he gets... Later on, we'll get to the episode, but what's the fifth episode, which is one of my favorite ones of this season. So anyway, this episode is... but
it's the Marie stuff that brings it down. It's like, yeah, you're right. There is stuff in here that I enjoy, but I'm sorry. It's nothing against Betsy Brandt, the actress, at all. It's nothing against her. It's the character. The character is more boring than watching molasses dry. I mean,
I just don't know. Yeah, I just don't know why they felt the need to try to give her something. I don't think it necessarily added to her. If anything, it took away from the character. So,
In episode 4, we have bullet points.
Yep. So, I don't know. Like, all right. So this is the one where Skyler comes up with the brilliant plan that that they won all the money to buy the car wash from gambling because Walt is a brilliant sort of card counter. Yeah. Not one of her better ideas.
No.
The no. bright side for them is Hank at this point is colossally he's obsessed
with he's full on obsessed, yeah.
The Heisenberg, who it was, that kind of thing. And at this point he thinks it's Gale, but he hasn't quite finished off or wrapped a bow on the case. That's soon enough. But next episode we'll get into that. But right now he believes, you know, Gale was probably the one behind it. He's just completely sort of enamored with that idea.
And I believe it comes up later, but he's not actually even doing this for, he's still on medical leave from the DEA because of
PTSD and everything else.
So this is just his own personal crusade that he needs to find out who, you know, Heisenberg is.
Yeah. And Jesse's downward spiral continues into, I don't know, it's tough, but next episode might be my favorite one. But what's important from this one is Jesse loses a whole ton of his money, and, you know, Mike goes to Gus and says that, you know, Jesse's obviously a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And another sign that Gus is with it is when you watch the scene, you're expected to think, Gus is going to have him killed, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what happens in the next episode.
Yeah, no.
Gus actually seems to want to sort of help Jesse.
Yeah,
And Gus, Mike legitimately wants to help him as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that since day one of season two when Mike had to come in and clean up for Jane. So, Mike has always been on Jesse's side, and I think at this point Gus realizes, like you said earlier, that Jesse is more of a lost soul. He needs direction more so than he is flying off the handle in a loose cannon like Walt is.
Yeah, and I mean, Jesse's controllable, and unfortunately Walt knows that as well, too.
Yeah. The only note I'm going to bring up for episode 4 before we go to episode 5 was the family stuff here, when they were all sitting around the table and stuff like that, wasn't as awkward as it usually is for me.
Okay. I love the scene, and we'll get to it. Yeah. I absolutely adore the episode 5 family scene, but we'll get to that in a second. I mean, 5, we basically... I loved episode 5, which is Shotgun, and it's called that because that's what... first of all, I mean, this is the one Mike tells Walter that, you know, Jesse's fine. This is Walt kind of, I think, figuring out that Gus is starting to move Jesse against him. Or at the very least, just move Jesse to his side and actually, you know, be somewhat of a guardian to him.
Yeah.
And anyway, I should also note, too, that Skyler asks Walt to move back in again. But anyway... The bulk of what I really loved in this was the Jesse Mike stuff. So Mike takes Jesse on their sort of collection runs, we'll say, to get, you know, money. Different sales and that kind of thing. But it's, I don't know, there's something with the two of them. They've got a really good chemistry.
Yeah, it's more of... I'm not sure if it is father and son kind of chemistry, it's something similar to that.
It's funny because they're doing stuff that's kind of mean, illegal, whatever you want to call it. Like, it's not, you know, wholesome, but there's something wholesome about it. Like, it feels, it feels better than anything, you know, Walt and Jesse did together.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Like, I think it comes across that Mike, you know, Mike probably wouldn't bat an eye if Gus told him to kill Jesse, but I don't think he wants to.
Yeah, no.
You know,
there are certain things with Mike that, you know, he will follow an order, but there are certain orders he probably doesn't agree with. But like, as I said earlier, he knows better not to voice his disagreement.
Yeah, so the other part of this episode that I loved was the dinner. Walt drinks a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
And when Hank, you know, mentions that Gail was a genius and this great cook, Walt can't take it. And it's not the first time his ego gets him into trouble, obviously. We've discussed a few others.
Yeah. But
this is one of the worst, because honestly, like, the case is basically over, and Walt points him in the direction that, you know, Gale couldn't possibly have done this on his own. He was copying somebody. Now, the bright side, I guess, for Walt, if you want to call it that, is he finds the Los Polos Hermanos napkin.
Mm-hmm.
And that points him towards Gus. As we see in the next few episodes, he investigates him, yeah, going so far as to, like, get his fingerprints when he's not paying attention, and having Walt, like, put a tracker on Gus's car.
That was stupid as shit. I'm sorry, that was one of the dumbest things of this episode. As much as I love Shotgun...
That's a much later episode, but anyway.
Oh, okay.
No, that wasn't this one. I'm just...
Okay, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, this is what that's what it leads to, because Walt can't keep his big fat mouth shut.
Yeah.
And... You know, granted, he's been drinking, and that's not the first time that this has gone poorly for him.
Yeah.
But I think even if he hadn't, he would have done the same thing. He's got a giant ego, and they hinted at, you know, that cost him something with Gray Matter way before Breaking Bad started.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's got him into trouble in the past. But, yeah, this was a really bad move by Walt.
Yeah, this whole family scene...
But it's not out of character.
No, it's not out of character. It's just a bad move. The whole family scene in Shotgun reminds me of the scene from season 2 when he's trying to get Junior to drink when they're having the pool party. It's this is the same thing, kind of, but it's just Walt doing the drinking. And it's Walt because he is drinking and he's thinking all this crap and he's just wanting to just break out of his shell and say... Fuck everybody, I'm the kingpin, or whatever else. And,
he wants everybody to know he's the smartest, but he also doesn't want to get caught.
Yeah.
It's the same, you know, a lot of criminals, this is one of the things that trips them up.
Mm.
You know, you want everybody to know, hey, I'm the mastermind, I got away with it. But alternatively, you don't want to spend the rest of your life in prison. So. Yeah.
It wasn't until the point of Mike and Jesse on their very final run... When the two cars came up and the guy with the shotgun, it wasn't until I realized when I looked at the episode title, I'm like, okay, shotgun, technically that means passenger side, you know, somebody in the passenger.
That's mostly what it's, yeah.
Then when I saw the actual shotgun with the guy, and I'm like, oh, okay, double meaning, there we go.
Not to mention, of course, we find out that, you know, it was all set up.
It was all set up by Gus.
Mike and Gus, to test Jesse.
Yep.
And not just to test him, maybe as well to kind of break him out of his shell, make him feel useful again. So a little bit of both things, but yeah
absolutely.
Like that episode.
Shotgun might be my second favorite episode of the season.
It's tough for me. There's a couple other, like, really good ones that we'll get to soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
But for that point, yeah, we've run into Cornered, which is kind of a lot of Cornered is Walt getting beaten down for doing a lot of dumb stuff lately, including, you know, basically getting berated for what he told Hank the night before. And then, you know, he goes out and buys Walt Jr. a new car.
I was half waiting for it to transform and in part of, as soon as I saw that it was a it's a Challenger, but as soon as I saw that it was a Dodge, and I'm like, the first thing I thought of was that old 1994 Viper TV series that NBC tried to launch. Oh God. But yeah, so Walt Jr. gets a car. I like the Dodge Challengers and the Chargers, but I'm sorry, red with black pinstripe, that is the ugliest color combination.
I don't know, they could have done worse. Anyway.
Could have,
yeah. So, not some of Walt's best stuff. However, some of Bryan Cranston's best stuff. This is the episode that contains the amazing I Am the One Who Knocks speech. Which is phenomenal, and I think to a certain extent Skyler is starting to figure out that Walt's
he's
nuts.
A bad dude, yeah,
and that, yeah, he's not a good guy. There's not a huge amount, yeah, a lot of this episode is fallout with Walt, not to mention him going to Jesse and trying to convince him that, you know, Gus is using him and trying to use Jesse to get to him, which is not what's actually happening. Jesse is legitimately proving himself useful to Mike and to Gus in this episode and in the previous one. You know, they legitimately want him as part of the group. They don't want Walt.
Yeah.
And, you know, reasons why they don't want Walt, well, let's see, there's the stuff last episode would be a good reason. And then, you know, in this one, yeah, his speech to Skyler, where he just kind of... One of the things I liked, and this, I have no idea if it was Cranston that did it or if it was written into the script, but you'll notice that as Walt goes through the I'm the One Who Knocks speech, before he goes to it, he takes off his shirt... as if he's got a, like, the overshirt. It's as if he has to do some sort of, like, physical transformation to become Heisenberg or to let that out of himself still. Because with Heisenberg, he, you know, wears the hat. That kind of thing. Yeah. He still needs, like, something sort of physical to bring it out of him. Which I think was deliberate. And then in season 5, for example, he's just Heisenberg all the time.
Well, yeah, because we're at a point, and again, I don't remember this a lot, but I do remember once the season 5 promotional stuff started happening, the ads and things like that, he was always in the Heisenberg getup because at that point, he had fully transformed from the timid chemistry teacher we saw in season 1 to...
And they had all the awesome Remember My Name promos. And that would be a big theme in the season because, I mean, he even has the line, say my name, to Declan and his drug running crew. But anyway, that's a year off. No, I really liked Cornered because it's a very character-driven episode, pretty much just focusing on Walt with a little bit of Jesse. But it works because Cranston's really good in this. Like, this might be his best work of the series in this season. Later on in Crawl Space, he's also amazing. But
yeah,
anyway.
Crawl Space was crazy good.
So with Problem Dog is the next episode. again, like, all of these episodes spin right out of the other. That's why I'm not necessarily stopping a lot. But anyway,
yeah, no, that's fine.
This is the episode where Walt puts together the ricin in a cigarette of Jesse's, which is important as
well.
This
no, actually, on. Actually, yeah, it is. It's very important. But actually, the what happened was Walt made it, and then Jesse was the one to hide because he was like hide it somewhere
Jesse
on you, you know. So Jesse is the one that takes out the cigarette pack, and he unpacks part of the cigarette, puts the ricin in there, packs it back in, and then puts it up facing upward in back in the pack.
So Walt wants Jesse to kill Gus, and Jesse does not, obviously.
Obviously.
So that's the big sort of thing. Jesse returns to 12 Steps as he continues getting better. And this is also the episode.
He doesn't really get better.
Well, I mean, he's
he basically comes clean to all of them and says, I'm only here to sell you meth.
Yeah, well, I do think he legitimately is trying to come to terms, at least to some extent, with the things he's done. I mean, yeah. He tells the story.
Yeah.
The problem dog story, which is obviously meant to be him, but...
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing with Jesse and Walt is there's a clear dividing line between the two characters. Jesse's sort of willing to do whatever it takes, but there are certain things that he has
he'll
a moral...
feel bad, though. He doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, he will feel bad, but there
Murder
is...
Murder was too far for him, though. I honestly don't think he would do it again.
Yeah, no. I think after killing Gale, he realized he wasn't just on the edge anymore. He was falling off the fucking cliff, and I think that's why he did... Obviously, that's why he had the weeks and weeks of parties and things like that, and then he's now going back to the third the AA stuff and whatever else and all of that. So Jesse's character arc again evolves him to look more like a protagonist to us, whereas Walt's de-evolves him to the point where we just outright hate the guy.
Well, yeah, Jesse becomes the show's moral compass, even though he's done a lot of terrible things. But again, you know, for example, you know, through the rest of the series, Jesse only commits homicide one more time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be blunt. He does it to somebody who, like, man, I don't blame him. Like, I was cheering when he did it. I mean, you know, Todd is so horrible. And Todd is the exact opposite of Jesse.
Yeah.
In that he will do all those bad things but feels nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't mind at all. He doesn't feel good or bad. Actually, he looks back at some of it and goes like, oh yeah, those were good times. Hey, remember when I shot that kid for you? That was great. Oh. Man, we were such good friends. Like, that's exactly how he views it, because he...
Yeah.
Oh, he's just... But... here, I mean, yeah, he's still, I think, coming out of his complete sort of downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly trying to recover, but yeah, he's still trying to do stuff for Gus. And then the only other thing to note from this episode is Hank's investigation continues. This is the one where he gets Gus's fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, we obviously know that he's after Gus and thinks he was involved with Gale being killed. There's, you know, Victor is a missing person, but they haven't really tied that in, I believe. So
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then with episode 8, we get
Romanos. Gus's backstory. Yay.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about this one is when they do the flashback to the cartel kingpin, and at the end of it, he's like, the only reason...
Adios.
Yeah. Well, they allude to the fact that Gus isn't who he says he is, or he know, you know, Don Eladio says he knows that who he really is, and we never really get any closure out of that, I don't think, unless it happens later in season 5, which it probably doesn't, since Gus is dead at that point.
There's insinuations that Gus was some sort of general or something like that.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, not... They don't make it implicit here, but it's pretty clear. Gus's friend, quote-unquote, Max, was his lover.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Gus was also gay, but they don't, you know, spell it out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, they kill... In the flashback, Hector and co. kill... Hector's the one that actually kills Max.
Yeah.
But it's on Labdio's orders. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he nods to him, and we don't see Hector. We see Hector in the scene because he went and did something else, got something else, or whatever else, or he went to go get glasses for whatever it was. And then we see Don Eladio nodding to him. We see Hector one last time. We don't actually see him until after the gunshot killing Max. I mean, I love how that is paced out. I think that is very, very good.
I like seeing the sequence after. I mean, it's set right after the death of the two nephews when they tried to kill Hank.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a flashback of Gus visiting Tio at the nursing home to tell him, like, oh, hey, by the way, your nephews are both dead, you piece of crap. Like, this obviously sets up the finale, but I mean, Tio is Gus's only weakness. Hector, is the only one who he wants absolutely dead and embarrassed and everything else. Like, he still has emotions over that and wants him to suffer. So we see that. In the present day, is this the one? No, sorry. In the present, yeah, this is it. In the present day, this is the one with the tracking device.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter is desperately trying to get Jesse to poison Gus.
Yep.
But yeah, it's not a lot of present day stuff. Enjoyed it. I liked seeing Gus's backstory. I'm okay with not knowing some of the stuff in this. Like, I'm okay that we never found out what happened at Grey Matter with Walt. And I'll be okay if we don't find out necessarily what happens to Gus, because I don't feel like it was important to Breaking Bad. Now, will we find out in Better Call Saul? We may very well.
Yeah.
But
the thing of it here in season 4 of Breaking Bad, you're right. I don't, like, honestly, I had, by this point in the series, I had completely forgotten about Grey Matter, because they haven't really mentioned Elliot and what's her name?
Gretchen.
Yeah. Gretchen, yeah. They haven't mentioned them in a long time.
Yeah, they reappear in the finale, but that's the next time. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm saying to this point, though, unless it's specifically, I had completely, I know that's part of Walter's past, and all of that, but it's like I'd completely almost forgotten about it. Hermanos was a really, really good episode. Like you said, seeing Gus's backstory, not necessarily seeing everything, even though I nitpicked the fact that we don't really find out, who he really. I mean, like you said, it alludes to that he's some sort of general or something, and that it's all right. I just wish there was something. Like an after note or like a behind the scenes video somewhere, like an episode of Talking Bad or something where Giancarlo was on there and maybe Vince would allow him to tell what the rest of the backstory was or something. But
to be fair, he doesn't know, but anyway.
Okay, but I'm saying if he did.
Yeah.
If he.
They hadn't actually written it out. I mean, we'll see. Like, I think there's a decent chance that Breaking Bad goes into, or Breaking Bad, Better Call,
Better
Saul,
Call Saul
goes
yeah.
into it.
Yeah,
Breaking
and that's
Bad's already done. Anyway.
So, episode 9 is called Bug, and I'm like, oh no, not another fly in the lab. But obviously,
that was episode 9 of season 3. But anyway.
Yeah.
although we do kind of slow down here, but. The gist of this is Hank finding out where the super lab is.
Yeah, finding out where the super lab is, and then we have to bring Ted back in to have some sort of story there.
That was, the reason for that becomes clear in Crawl Space. They needed a reason why Walt just couldn't use the money to get away or to, hire somebody to kill Gus or whatever.
Yeah.
But Ted Beneke shows up again.
Yeah.
I didn't like Ted. I don't know.
I haven't liked Ted since the first time I saw him, whenever it was. The whole subplot for Skylar and Marie, for Skylar, unless it's directly related to Walt, most of her subplots honestly kind of suck because they really
I think
only...
they're fine. I think the issue is that they're... this was set back when we still thought maybe Walt was a protagonist, or at least he had some good left in him, that kind of thing. Like, we still felt something for him. But now when he reappears, you know, they're both kind of scumbags, and obviously Walt is worse. I mean, you know, there's committing adultery, which is bad, and then there's, you know, committing multiple homicides.
Yeah, which is even worse. It's even worse, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, it's probably worse. But yeah, I mean, you know, they introduce him essentially as a reason why Walt doesn't have money 2 episodes from now. And yeah, I mean, because the IRS auditing him, well, that was set up. I mean, he was stealing money way back.
Yeah,
only that for some. So at least, I mean, at least they set up for this. Like, it wasn't, it didn't come out of left field. But
no,
yeah.
it didn't. But what I mean about, like, oh God, Ted is back.
No, I know
it's
what
the
you're
same,
saying.
It's the same thing as, oh God, they're doing more stuff with Marie. Like, look, at this point in the series, to me, it's all about Walt and Jesse and how it each affects their lives. And I'm sorry, Ted Beneke, at this point in the series, should not really be affecting their lives at all.
I think Skylar's still a huge part of it, especially since, you know, she's still married to Walt.
Yeah.
And obviously the fallout between them shapes the last few episodes of the series completely.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other stuff to note from this one, too, is Gus gives in to the cartel and asks for a meeting with them.
Yep.
And, oh yeah, right, this is also the episode with the really sad fight between Walt and Jesse. So, I mean, Walt,
it's like
Walt
watching Moen.
Yeah, Walt doesn't trust him, and Jesse doesn't trust Walt. Jesse, by the way, is the one that's right in this.
Obviously, yeah.
For all his faults, Jesse wouldn't have allowed Walter to get killed. Like, he wouldn't have allowed Gus to have him killed or anything like that. So, again, you know, the rest, like, what comes out of this and what comes out of this series is on Walter. You know, he's got more than enough money. He's basically paranoid about, you know, Gus killing him.
Yeah.
And Hank is really not on Walter's trail either.
No.
You know, all of this is spun out of his need to control things and his need to be the kingpin and his need to win.
And the thing with the fight between the two of them, it's like if Mo and Larry got into a battle with each other, or Mo and Shemp got into an actual fist fight.
One of the things I like about this series, though, is Walt's not an action hero. Like,
at
no point do they go completely unrealistic, and Walter, you know, slugs his way out of a scenario. And that was one of my fears with the finale as well, when he's got a 60 caliber, which, I'm a big guy. I can't hold a 60 caliber. The Punisher can hold one, but he's a fictional character. They're meant to be mounted, and I remember, you know, when the finale was coming, like, oh man, what's he going to do with the 60 cal? And then, you know, luckily Walter sciences his way out, but it would have been so silly if he, you know, runs in and shoots people with it. And
yeah.
No, I mean, even at full strength, Walt's not strong enough to lift something like that. And this fight is horribly pathetic because neither guy's a fighter. I mean, Jesse's a drug addict, and Walter's an old man suffering from cancer. So
I love,
can you walk? Then get the fuck out of here and never come back.
But I love that line, can you breathe? Get out and don't ever fucking come back. I love that.
Yeah.
I thought that was so great.
It ended up being a really good episode.
Yeah, it did.
And the next one has one of my favorite sequences, period, which is, I'll just get right to it, Gus poisoning the cartel. So, I mean, this was his plan all along. He poisons himself in the end, but the plan was that, you know, he poisons the cartel. Jesse is there because Jesse is a recovering addict, so he's got a plausible excuse to say, oh yeah, he doesn't drink. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesse and Mike then are okay, and they have a shootout with the now dying cartel people.
Yeah.
And are able to kind of finish them off. And this was, you know, Gus's plan all along. I just really like that. It's also a solid action sequence that wasn't, you know, wholly unrealistic, because, I mean, they don't have a shootout and not get injured. But, you know, Mike takes a bullet.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, poor Mike, damn.
I remember after the finale thinking, like, oh, is Mike going to be a loose end or what? But then in the first episode of season 5, he's a part of it. So yeah. I was happy that, yeah, they don't just have him shot and you forget about him. But, I mean, that's it for him this season.
I swear I remember more of Jesse being in Mexico. Like, was there ever a montage scene of him constantly cooking for the cartel, or there wasn't? Obviously now I know that there wasn't, because...
Yeah, he's traded to them in this episode, and he, you know, tries to show them, but of course they don't, not all of them speak English. And he was shown with them or talked to them, I think, in a previous episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was some stuff with him and them. And then there's quite a bit more in this one before the close of the episode, which is the shootout and then Gus.
Obviously, yeah, the shootout. I love the doctor at the end. He's like, you know, hello, this guy needs help. This guy signs my paycheck.
Yeah. And I mean, they, you know, he does save Mike, obviously. But, you know, Gus is the for Jesse, Mike is the priority. But Gus is the priority for everybody in the organization. And probably for Mike, too. I mean, Mike knew what he was getting into.
Yeah. What I do like about this, we've been slowly talking about the slow turnaround for Jesse and him getting better. What I love about it is when he's, before the drinks and the poisoning and all that, when he is sitting there and the chick comes up and gives, like, he's very reluctant for the cigar. Like, I love that he's shown to be resisting the temptations of what he knows he'll downward spiral into.
Yeah, or at least he's smart enough at this point to know it's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And wants to stay away from it. Not because he knows it's poisoned, but because...
Yeah. And then the final three episodes are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they go right into the other. So, I mean, the next episode is...
Crawl Space.
Which is amazing. So, I mean, Gus recovers. And, again, you know, going back to something I said earlier, one of the first things is Jesse tells Gus, don't kill Walter.
Mm-hmm.
Like he realizes, or Jesse realizes, when, you know, Gus is telling him you can run the lab on your own, he knows that, you know, that means he can get rid of Walt. And so he tells him, like, no, don't kill him. So, I mean, again, like, Jesse was more loyal to Walt than Walt ever is to him. Like, Walter doesn't deserve any of what Jesse gives to him. Here he goes to bat for him. And this is the episode where there's a fair amount here. I mean, Walter drives Hank out to the laundry, but he gets in an accident on the way, obviously deliberately. Yes. And anyway, in the end, just a great finale to the episode when Walt goes to get the money so that the whole family can disappear. And he just has the crazy breakdown and he just starts laughing because it's gone because Skyler sent the
$600,000 to Ted.
Sent it to Ted, and so he doesn't have the money he needs right now, and the rest is being laundered. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved that scene. I just... it was... When you see somebody laugh in a movie or television show, it's not always believable. And when you see somebody do, like, the crazy laughter... Mm-hmm. It's even tougher to pull off, but man, does he pull it off here. I mean,
yeah, he does.
I was horrified with him basically while he was doing it. Like, boy, yeah, I don't know. I was really impressed with him in this one.
Yeah, I took a screen cap of the final, like right before it goes to black of the floor. Where it shows Walt in the frame of the floor and all that room. And my thing of it was, Walt has really gone Looney Tunes at this point. Because seriously, he's way out there because of the. And I had honestly completely forgotten he still had money in the house in the crawl space.
Yeah,
I had completely forgotten about, because we've only really seen this season about laundering the money, and Saul keeps part of Jesse's money in his safe at his office, and this, that, and the other thing, and everything else. I had thought that they would have completely gotten rid of the money at the house, but apparently not.
It made sense to keep it there in case of an emergency. Unfortunately, it got used. So I mean, the last two episodes. I'll just throw them in together here, are amazing. But anyway, so in the previous episode, there was a tip that the cartel's looking to kill Hank. And so Hank and Marie are in DEA protection. And Skyler, Walt Jr., and Holly all get into protection. But, I mean, Walter's kind of on the run trying to figure out what the heck to do. So Jesse finds the ricin vial is missing. Just after getting a call that from Andrea, who we haven't seen in a bit, who Jesse had dated, he gets the call from Andrea that Brock, her son, is in critical condition with a bunch of like symptoms that are similar to the early warning signs of ricin poisoning.
Yeah.
And, you know, Walt goes to Jesse basically telling him that, like, oh, you know, Gus poisoned Brock, obviously, which, I mean, at the time when I was watching it, I thought, like, well, this doesn't make sense. I thought it would be kind of silly if Gus did. Well, it turns out we get the resolution of that in the next episode. But anyway, in the end, Walter goes to put a car bomb on Gus's car, but Gus, sensing something's wrong and not being an idiot, evades and gets away.
Yeah, and Walt's like, what did you say? What did you tell him? He must know something. Yeah.
And then we open with, I mean, this time, you know, Jesse's being questioned about how he knew that Brock had been poisoned.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, like, obviously they'd be a little curious how exactly he knew what was wrong.
Yep.
And so in the end, everybody realizes, you know, the only thing that seems to make Gus vulnerable or come out of his shell is when he visits Hector at the nursing home.
Yeah.
And good Lord, I mean, in terms of television history, the last few scenes in this episode are amazing.
Yeah.
We get, you know, the obvious one, which is Gus's death, thanks to Hector and Walt.
Yeah, we got to talk about this, because I forgot how much of a death this was.
It was great.
I knew what it was. As soon as I remember seeing the episode title, I knew what it was. I knew what was going to happen. I just forgot. And I have not... I screen capped it where he turns right before he falls, but I have not put it on Facebook yet because I know it's going to freak half the people on my friends list out. But it's one of those things where my note about it was Nick Cage and John Travolta, eat your hearts out.
I liked the. So I mean, I loved the tie adjustment.
Yeah.
The other thing I loved is the makeup work on it. So, the person who did makeup for Breaking Bad would go on and do the makeup for The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things with Gus, if you look really closely too, his missing eye actually like twitches as if it's there. Like it's really well done makeup to the point that it's really disturbing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, Gus dies. We get the great montage of Jesse and Walt destroying the super lab. Which they actually did. They like set it on the set and everything on fire in real life.
Oh wow, they did that?
To achieve that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's why it looks so good in the show. A lot of the fire stuff in this show was actually done. Like they did an awful lot of practical effects in this. There's very little computer work on the show. It really shows.
I thought the whole play... I mean, I know in the story they set it up to be a controlled thing to only destroy the lab and keep the laundry, but I really thought that the whole place was going to go up.
Yeah. Oh, and I should note, too, the absolute final shot of the season is the panning towards the Lily of the Valley, which we discover that's what Brock was poisoned by. Mm-hmm. And we find a... you know, potted plant of it in Walter's backyard at the end of the season. So yeah, Walt poisoned Brock, which, what a great guy. I mean,
no, if not at all.
So one of the other debates I've had with a few people too is, in the end, I mean, I really think that Walt wouldn't really have cared if Brock died from it. Like, he was taking a legitimate chance that Jesse would figure it out or somebody would figure it out and save him. But yeah, he was okay with, you know, poisoning the kid and taking chances with that.
Yeah, not good, Walt, not good at all. So next time we do one of these for season 5, it's going to be really interesting, because like I said, I do not remember a damn thing other than the finale from season 5.
I do. A lot of people...
Well, yeah, but you've watched it more than I have, so...
A lot of people are not as big fans of season 5. I loved it, because again, I love seeing the after effects of big things, and... Mm-hmm. If Breaking Bad had ended on season 4, which apparently was a possibility at one point, it probably would have been okay, but I much prefer being able to see.
Yeah. I think if it happens. I think if it would have ended on season 4 with the Lily of the Valley, that would have been a... It would have been a resolution, but it would have been a resolution and a cliffhanger at the same time, because we don't really get closure to any of these characters by the end of the 4th season. We don't really know, like, what's going to happen to them, with them, you know, what's going to happen to Walt Jr., what's going to happen to Holly, and what's going to happen to Skyler, Hank, and Marie. We don't see any of that, because that's just not where the end of the 4th season was going. So, having a 5th season, and I'm surprised that the 5th season is 3 more episodes than most of the others. I'm really surprised that there were 16 episodes in season 5. Because normally when you wrap, at least what I've seen from certain television shows, when you're wrapping something up for a series, you know, you take, what's that show? That HBO thing that everybody loves, Game of Thrones.
Sopranos or Game of Thrones?
No, yeah. Game of Thrones. No, Sopranos is a little bit better, but not in quality, but in how they ended. Anyway, either way, what I'm saying
Game of Thrones isn't over yet, so it's hard to say.
Game of Thrones, it only has, what, 6 episodes left that are going to happen or something? But that's my point.
6 episodes per season. It ends up being 12.
Okay. Well, I'm saying that it... normally when you do like a, this is going to be the last season and we're going to end the series off well, it's not normally the standard order of 13 or 22 or whatever. In some cases,
yeah, it was 8 and 8.
Yeah.
And there's definitely sort of a mid-season finale to this.
Yeah.
As well as one of the things I really appreciated is they just get straight into it. I mean, the first episode concludes with Hank telling Walter he knows who he is, that he's figured it all out, and Walter, you know, threatens him.
Yeah.
I liked, too, that there was an awful, you know, when Walter killed Gus, he didn't just destroy, you know, one person. He took apart, like, an entire empire. And there's an awful lot of fallout with that. And that plagues him through the season. And then the other thing that hurts him, Walter, is who he decides to pair up with.
Yeah, we'll get to that next time around.
I mean, you know, pairing up with a bunch of Trump voters was a really bad idea.
Oh, God. But season four might be my favorite. Even though I have certain things I don't like about season four, I don't have the consistent disdain I've had for the other three. I like certain things of the first three seasons, but for the most part, season four is my favorite at this point.
I think for most people, it would be.
Season four, if I was ever to go back and rewatch the series again, which I probably won't, season four would probably be the one season I would start with. Maybe the end of season three going into season four.
If you've never watched the show before, I wouldn't recommend starting with
season four. Well, obviously. Obviously. Yeah, no, I'm saying as someone who has watched the show two different times now, because when I first watched it, I was watching through, I think it was on Netflix at the point, and it was through the fourth season, because the fifth season was still kind of airing. And like you, you know, you had said earlier about how you were, ended up watching it as it would air. I tried watching it as it aired, but I don't know what was going on back then. I had too much other TV stuff I had to watch. But no, season four, honestly, I gotta give it a 5 out of 5. I mean, there, like I said, there are a few nagging things, but I think Gus's face being blown off puts anything Marie tries to do to shame.
It was one of the best sort of television moments, and it's one of those that people years from now are probably going to remember still as well. It was very iconic. Like, the imagery and everything else was perfectly done, so... Yeah, I mean, I gave season 3 a 5 out of 5, so obviously I have to give 4 a 5 out of 5.
Yep. All right, folks, so next time we've got Breaking Bad season 5, and after that, I have no idea what we're going to do here in Remote Control.
We'll go the other way and review Arrow season 4, so I can give something a 1 or lower.
Actually, there's a plan for that here on the GCR.
Oh, geez. You need to put Andrew and I together for that.
All right. I'll see. I'm not running that. That's something we can talk about off air. But, I'll talk to you about that later. But anyway, Breaking Bad Season 4. We got one more to go, so that'll happen in a couple of weeks. Come on back to Remote Control for that. Where can the people find you online, sir?
At Nightbeat.
On Twitter.
Yes. I keep forgetting to say that. I remembered last time. But...
Yeah, you remembered last time, but you forgot this time. I am at TFGNMike on Twitter. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio, at This Week in Geek on Twitter as well. Join us next time for Breaking Bad Season 5, and after that, who knows? We will catch you next time when we will all be fighting over the remote control.
Thank you for tuning into Remote Control. There are several ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can leave us feedback in iTunes. Follow us on Twitter @geekcastradio. You can become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of Remote Control and wish that you'll tune in next time to hear what TV topic we'll be talking about. Get those remotes ready because we are all remote controlled.